Sunday morning discussion group, and you know that discussion means not just me talking, you guys all discuss. Sharing, caring.
Yes.
Every little. Okay, who's going to start us off in prayer today? Anybody feel it?
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. This is a day to rejoice and be glad in.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you bless both services today, Sunday school and church. Mm-hmm. You bless your people, Father.
Yes.
Father, just have your way in the world today, Father, because we know that we need you more than ever now, especially in Ukraine and Russia, Father. Just have your hand there, Father. Just intervene if it's your will, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Father, we ask that you bless your people. And just have your way in our lives today.
Thank you.
We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, 2 weeks ago, because we didn't have Sunday school last week, we did the first five verses of chapter 12 of Romans. Mm-hmm. And, it's so beautiful in there. Let's just read over it, but then we will go on, okay? Hang on 1 second here now. Who has the King James? Because to me that's the most beautiful.
I've got it over here.
Okay. I love the King James.
Can we read the first five verses?
Yeah. For the real moving things of, I'd love to hear it in the language that I heard it the first time that it touched me. For some reason. I love the new ones, but the old translations just move me.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. That was five.
Uh-huh.
You want me to read any farther?
Not yet.
Okay.
I looked up a couple of words in that, and it's mostly in verse 4.
Uh-huh.
For as we have many members in one body, the word many,
mm-hmm,
means a multitude.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a multitude.
Right.
The whole earth is a multitude. And
right.
Guess what? We're all one body. The whole earth.
Don't you think that one scripture said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof?
Mm-hmm.
This basically wraps that up to oneness. Sorry.
It sure does. It also means, oh yeah, the harvest to be gathered.
Oh,
that
good.
Word there, many, it means the harvest to be gathered. Wow. That kind of puts the exclamation point, I think, of what God's purposes are. He's bringing in the harvest. And, when you were saying, when you were praying, buddy, and you said, all your children or whatever. And I thought to myself, that means every despicable, they're all included. If only they would, if their minds would be transformed, But then it goes on to say, I love this. Okay, so for as we have many members in one body, guess what the word one there means? I bet Oscar knows.
Abundantly Man?
Abundantly Man. I looked that up today and I thought, oh, wow. You know, that was God's intent from the creation of the world. Yes, in the beginning. And guess what's going to happen? Since there is no time, I mean, it's done. It is complete. It's fulfilled. Abundantly Man is with us, in us, through us, as us. You know, the only thing we're waiting for is this time factor to catch up. And we're only down here in this slowed down time factor because God subjected us to that for his purposes.
Right.
It's all good.
I want to ask a question about that time. Time catches up. Somehow I'm seeing the mind of Christ coming to fullness because we know, I mean, you know, we can say we have the mind of Christ because the Bible, the scripture says that. So we're just quoting scripture right there. But when we totally believe that, we might quit saying we'll have the, because a lot of people say that. Well, you know, one day we'll have the mind of Christ. That's the time consuming thing, because when we come together where we're one, one in the Lord, one in spirit, I believe then, and I actually believe it takes the Holy Spirit for us to recognize that. I mean, because, you know, I mean, let's face it, when that happens to other people that we haven't seen it in, we'll see it and we'll smile.
Mm-hmm.
We'll actually rejoice over the fact, oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that, because their time has come. I see that in so many ways that, you know, God's presence, when you accept him, you're born again, right? I mean, we're okay with that. We're born again. Because if we're not born again, we're not in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell Deb, I said, so he's actually come again in that individual. Because he was already there from the beginning. But he's actually come. He's been awakened in that individual. And when he's been awakened in that individual, the individual has hope. I mean, undeniably hope that God lives within him. You know, not one day, someday, whatever. But once again, on a timetable, one day, someday, whatever. But when you express that hope, that's not just a hope for you. That's a hope for all mankind. He said he wished that none would perish, right?
Yeah.
He would that none would perish, I think. Does it say that?
Yeah.
He would that none would perish.
Yeah.
And I go like this. I see that. I think I believe that as it's meant.
Right.
Hopefully we'll all come to that as we'll see it. There's hope. I ask people, I said, do you think, especially when they're talking about somebody that's passed already, I said, do you think it was God's intent that you run interference for that person to know his relationship with God? I said, I just use what the scripture says. I believe the scripture. And the scripture believes that all men shall be saved. So I don't need to run interference on that. The scripture does. It fulfills everything we need to know. But anyway, I guess let me shut up.
See what you just said, Clyde. That's true, but that doesn't take our obligation away from telling them about Jesus Christ and
right.
witnessing to them, because sometimes that witnessing or that what you tell them is what awakens the Christ within them, you know. And, you know, to every man's dealt a measure of faith, and they have that seed of faith inside of them, but a seed that has not been placed in ground and watered
right.
will not grow. And the thing about it is that that's, you know, I've had people say to me, well, brother, if you believe in reconciliation, you know, like total reconciliation, then why am I out, you know, being a missionary?
Mm-hmm.
You're out being a missionary because they don't know it. You got to tell them. You got to tell them what Jesus has already done. And if you don't tell them, how are they going to know it? Unless the Spirit of God inside of them awakens them on their own. You know what I mean?
Well, isn't the people that go out like that really either watering or planting?
That's they're,
because God gives the increase.
He gives the increase. He's the only one that can give the increase.
Yeah, I mean, he's watering.
That's right.
We got to look at people like we're watering a garden.
That's right.
Don't overwater, but water.
Right. Well, and that's where we need to share the Word of God with people as the Holy Spirit directs us to do that. Because what happens, a lot of people will go out and try to just witness on their own without Christ really, without Christ really, the Spirit of Christ inside of them really edging them on to do it. They'll do it because the pastor at the church said they should do it or something.
Yeah,
well,
you're right.
You know, I'll give you an example. We had a guy stop by our house Saturday, and they're running fiber optic cable down our street now. Well, I want to get that because I have Spectrum and it gives you 200 megabytes or whatever it is of power. Well, their lowest one gives you 500.
Right.
So it's so it's a lot faster.
But who do you get it from?
Huh?
Who do you get it from?
It comes through Cincinnati Bell, but it's not called Cincinnati Bell anymore.
Oh, that's
it's called
right.
something
called
else. Yeah, something else now. But anyway, so this guy was talking to me, he's a young man, and he's a really nice young man, and I talked to him a little bit. And then finally I told him, I said, well, you want to come in and you can explain this to me more, and he did. And I told him, I said, we have Spectrum at our church for our internet. And I said, I had called to see if they had fiber optic cable coming down the road here then, and they didn't because I knew it was more powerful and, it would be faster and everything like that. But anyway, and as I told him about the church a little bit, then he started telling me, he said, well, I went to seminary. I'm like a theological major or whatever in college, and I said, oh yeah. And he started asking about the church. Well, 2.5 hours later,
wow.
He left. and he really didn't act like he was in no hurry to leave. I told him, wow. Brother, you don't have to keep staying here. I said, you can leave anytime you want. But about 2.5 hours later. But he told me, what he told me when we talked? He said, man, he says, the stuff that you say makes so much sense. He said, it's so easy and it's so, and I'm thinking, instead of giving people a bunch of traditions of the elders, we need to tell them about the power of God and the love of God and what he did and all that kind of stuff. And when we do that, creation is going to start to be turned around. Now, he said he would probably come to church here this morning, but I don't know if he will or not. But whether he does or not, it doesn't make any difference. I already dropped this Word of God inside of him, and
yes.
It'll pester him. And he knew the scriptures because when I gave him scriptures, and I shared that poem, about struggle, and I said, God would give me that poem. And he told me, he says, well, that poem takes you up to the heights and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, boy, he totally got it. You know what I mean? And I was thinking, wow, sometimes that's all people need is just the right seed at the right time. And that's what we need to really do more than just going out and hammering people over the head with a bunch of religious stuff. But when God opens that door, man, step through it. And share whatever God would have you share with a person, and I tell you what, His word never, and I'm going to emphasize never returns void, never.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it doesn't do the trick right then, it will do it somewhere down the road in the future. That word will spring up back inside of people, and it will take them into a higher place in God.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Do you remember when you said when you were a young Christian, you always knew the truth?
Yeah.
You knew when it was the truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what you gave him.
Yeah.
The next time he hears something a little, crazy, which is normal in churches today,
right.
It'll say something won't agree with it inside
right.
of him,
Right.
The paraclete comes along and just brings him into all truth.
Well, see, I like what Brother Odell said one time, you know, when he was here. And, you know, I liked Fred Odell. He used to make me laugh. I mean, I got a big kick out of him. Because, I mean, he was just flamboyant, and he didn't, you know, he was just always going to come in with a
Fred.
Green suit on or whatever it was.
Red hair
or whatever it was. But you know what? He shared the word of God, and he loved God, and he loved God's people. And that, and he had a tremendous prophetic anointing on him. He did. But he said, you know, he says, I can go into a church, and they can have their doctrines, like, up in a thing up on in front of the church, you know, all their different doctrines. And he said, if I go in there and I say, well, number five, that, you know, that's not really how it is, and start telling them, he said, they'll kick me out the door, you know. He said, but if I go in there under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and start preaching, he said, I can tear number five all the way off the wall.
And they'll get amen on it.
And they'll be amen to me all the way down the thing. He said, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks the yoke.
Yes.
You know, and that's really where we all need to be, you know. And as we get there, we're going to be much more effective for Christ, you know. And Lord, get us there as soon as you can, because we need this world is in a mess right now. But God knows, and He's in control of it all.
God anointed mess.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I believe that's why Romans is so important. Should be so important to us.
Yeah,
because right from the get-go, I mean, you know, it starts dealing with our flesh. And then a lot of people don't realize that by the time you get in the seventh chapter, going into the eighth, starts dealing with your spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I go like this, when it does that and you don't notice, that means God is totally in control, teaching you something. Mm-hmm. And that's why we ought not be in a hurry. I know we're not in a hurry to go through Romans, but Romans, that's why so many people emphasize Romans. Is because the word can do what we can't.
You know, I've heard what you said, Clyde. I've heard people say different times, well, kingdom people that teach a kingdom message, they quote Romans 8 chapter too much. I'm going to tell you what, you can never quote Romans 8 chapter too much, because Romans 8 chapter gives you the outline of exactly what God is going to do.
Right.
You know, that He's going to set all He's going to set all creation free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And I mean, how in the world preachers can ever preach the 8th chapter of Romans and not see that?
You know,
only the traditions of the elders would make them not really emphasize that. All creation. How much is all creation? It's all creation, yeah. You know.
I had the liberty, the influence of the Holy Spirit to work on my brother just by quoting Romans 8:1.
Uh-huh.
I did that to him for 2 weeks, and I walked in there, and he was getting ready to pass. I walked in there, and he got a big old smile on his face. He never did smile.
Yes.
And he stood up. I said, what are you doing? He said, and he quoted Romans 8:1, and he said, I've been set free. Because he had went to a church that condemned people and stuff like that for the way they lived and stuff like that. He said, and let me ask you something. What is the word of God to do? It's to set us free.
Yes.
All creation.
Look at what Jesus did. You know, if you read it back in Isaiah, where he says, you know, and Jesus quoted this to start his ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the poor, unto the meek, and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, He goes ahead and He tells all these things that He's going to do. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to preach the good news. He was the good news.
Right.
He wasn't only preaching. He was the good news. And that good news was that they've been forgiven, and they can walk in forgiveness and not in condemnation, you know.
We've got this one song that we sing, Jesus, something about He came to make a way. And I always sing it, He came to be the way.
He did more than
show us the way and then say, go for it.
You know, that really, what Oscar just said, that really ought to be the testimony of our walk.
Yeah.
Because don't you, when people say something, don't you start to stare at them and just say, does their walk match their talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we might not say it out loud, but we feel it. Mm-hmm. And I go like, and when it does, we go, amen, that's good.
Yes.
That's so good.
Yes.
We had an experience yesterday when
all of us met at Red Lobster for Tobias' birthday, and this one guy kept talking about Steve that he had met that works at Right Path. And from what I understand, he's Jewish, right, redeemed, you know, Jewish.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he had his hat on.
All that, and he talked almost the whole time. We shared with one another, but talked almost.
He was trying to break down the Hebrew words, you know.
And Greek, and talked about the most linear by
Interlinear Bible.
Yes, yeah. And that. And then he wanted to know about Tobias's name, how I come about naming him Tobias. Uh-huh. And I explained to him how I desired God to name him, and that Betty had, we were, had gathered together at the church, and Betty had laid hands on me, and he kicked so hard, I almost fell over. And Betty began to speak over him that God was double anointing, you know, him, and his life has been, when he was in high school and he had not, was not saved, that's the way his life was. People thought he was this one girl because of, but it's been God's covering. But I was saying, he was telling Tobias and about the prophecy over him and everything, that he ought to be afraid, you know, like not to be doing. Because who much is given, much is required.
Right.
And I said, I don't, there does not have to be any fear, because what God gives us to do, he enables us to do it. It's not us, it's him. And I was, you know, stating that to him, and then afterwards, and then Buddy was on our way home. We were driving, God started giving me that. I just started saying, come out of my spirit. I was not even thinking about it. That old song, Close to Thee, thou my everlasting portion, more than life itself to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Because, and God was showing me how all this that he was sharing, and all these words, and all this interpretation and all, what is your relationship with God?
Right, that's what it means.
And he was showing me the intimate relationship that we must have with God, that we know his voice,
right,
and know we won't follow him,
right,
and that how he is ever speaking is, are we in that place to hear him? He's ever speaking.
That's right.
And he was just showing me the importance, how the word is opened up, and you know, I've seen how God will use Brother Evie and different ones that he's brought forth the word. But the bottom line is, do you know him?
Right.
Do you know him? Do you have an intimate relationship with him each day, and hearing his voice and desiring him and hungering for him? That's what I was. I mean, he brought that. I was coming around a curve on this road, and just started singing this, come out of my spirit. And I said, yes, you are my everlasting
person. Yes.
More than life itself.
Praise God.
You know, it doesn't take much when I walk in here before my spirit, it's like, wake up, wake up, wake up to my spirit. Because the days that are spent, I don't want to say in this building, but really hanging on to God's spirit, it whittles away at my peace. And I hate anything that whittles away at my peace. As a matter of fact, I saw something in here. I wish I could remember. It was something about evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up in the Strong's, and it said, anything that troubles you, anything that, you know, that can be evil, annoying, anything annoying, anything troubling. And I realized that
it's robbing.
I was telling Mike on the way in,
it's
something, not a big deal, was bugging me. It was bugging me since all Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused me to resent people. And it caused me to judge these people. And it caused me to say they're trying to get us, you know? They're trying to shortchange us. It caused me to, this is good, this is bad, you know, to have the wrong tree as my life source. And even though this thing in itself was not what I would call evil, I said, Lord, I gotta get that out of me because that's evil to me. That is evil. It's causing me to sit here and it's stealing all of my peace and all of my contentment, all of my sure knowledge that God, you are everything, you are all, and in all, you are everything to me. And anything that's going to steal that away from me, that's evil. That's evil. It doesn't have to be bad, you know, evil by church standards. It doesn't have to be evil by legal standards. It only has to steal. That's illegal if you steal somebody's, oh, remember that thing, he who steals my purse steals trash, but he who steals my good name makes him none the richer, but me the poorer. That's an old, good old one. And also then to remember this thing about, while I trust in myself. Whew, I read that a couple of times.
That's a powerful, powerful
word.
I carried that in my billfold.
I read it almost
so many years that it deteriorated, you know. I'd get it out. Mm-hmm. I had to retype it one time, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Well, you know, what you're saying about evil, Kathy, if you take the word live, L-I-V-E, evil is just live in reverse. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Because if you spell it backwards, it spells evil. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we need to do when we find ourselves getting into that judgmental thing or whatever, and we all get there at times. We all find ourselves slipping over into that. And what we need to do then is just back up and say, no, wait a minute, Lord, I have no right to judge that other person. You know, there with the grace of God go I. You know what I mean? And a lot of times we do the same kind of things, you know. And, you know, I've shared with you guys before, but the Lord dealt with me years ago. He gave me a poem, and it went along this line. It seems a man is ever talking about himself, you know. Mm. He talks about his good deeds, and he talks about his wealth. He talks about the wonderful things that he has said and done, but he talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shun. It seems that man can see the fault in everyone around, but he can't see his own reflection. It's nowhere to be found. Oh, that God would open our eyes that we might truly see that we're no better than our neighbor, whoever our neighbor might be, and help us learn to look at ourselves before we judge any other, and know that in the eyes of God, that one is even our brother. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll be just like Cain and Abel. We'll be trying to kill our brother. And we'll kill him with words, and we'll kill him with criticism. We'll kill him with hatred or whatever it is. You know, whether we physically kill him or not, we'll be putting killing words out there, you know, concerning them. And I don't think we understand sometimes the power of the tongue. Scripture says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And, you know, we need to be a people that speak forth life and not death, you know. And I'm not trying to heap condemnation on us. I'm just telling us that when we realize we're doing that, and the Lord brings that poem back to me every time I get real critical of something. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it's, wait a minute now. That's your brother you're talking about, you know. And we have a tendency to do that, you know. And it's that old duality of nature. We still have some of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And until our eye totally becomes fully single and our body full of light, so to speak, and you know, then, you know, we'll quit doing that, you know. But we have a choice of whether to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or eat of the tree of life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He never did tell them in the Garden of Eden that they couldn't partake of the tree of life.
Yeah.
But once they ate of the knowledge of good and evil, he put them out of the garden saying, you know, lest they stretch forth their hand and take of the tree of life then. Well, he didn't want them having the tree of life as long as they were in that judgmental state, you know, it's all an analogy back there, but it's a tremendous analogy, you know. And but live, L-I-V-E, is an evil is just live backwards. And so it's just the opposite of a direction that live is. And if we're going to live and we're going to give life, then we want to partake of the tree of life, and we sing that song, "Thank God I'm a Tree." And if we want, that's out on the marquee out there. I think Mike put that out there, you know. But, you know, we're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by Him. And we're to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, all those kind of things, you know. And when we do that, you know, we're not going to find ourselves downing people. We're going to be trying to lift them up instead of downing them.
I might be way out, but I believe the Lord gave every one of us a spirit of discernment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And He wants us to use, it's not just to have, it's to be used in the areas, whether our mind goes this way or that way or how we feel or whatever. A lot of times when I'm looking at something, I feel the spirit of discernment, and He'll have me say, that doesn't belong here, or I'm not accepting that. There's a lot of things that we take into ourselves that we actually, I'm not going to say invite, but we didn't come against.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when you say in the name of Jesus, flee, if you ever deal with different spirits other than God, because there are different spirits other than God, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. In the name of Jesus, I come against you. Well, heck. Sometimes that spirit will get quiet, or sometimes it'll change voice, and it might try to scare you. But I told my son that. He said something once to me. I said, "Listen here, Satan, you're a liar, and I come against you in the name of Jesus." He never spoke another word about it. Because I recognized the thing, because the discerning spirit God was showing me, and then I heard it. I mean, you got to go pretty far when you don't come against what you hear. Because if we don't come against it, we're actually accepting it, and we're inviting it to stay. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of times I come against stuff, I said, not in my house. I mean, I'll say it out loud, not in my house. Because if Debbie's over there, she'll go like, what are you coming against? And I'll tell her, I said, not in our house, that's not going to be here. We're not going to do that. I mean, you know, somebody will come in, well, so help me. You will have a lot of people come into your life that will have fear in their life from the time they take a breath until the time they don't. And no offense, but you know what? That's not welcome in my house. Fear's not welcome in our house. Because you know what? It's not about fear. It's about Him who created heaven and earth. And we need to call it as it is. Give it a name. I can't believe I called your son as Satan. Well, it was like when Jesus told Peter, get behind me. I mean, you know, it's the whole thing. You got to recognize it. And if you choose to ignore it, I got news for you. You're really slowing your walk down with God. I mean, I believe that with my whole heart. I mean, I know it says, what's it say? It said that if we seek Him with our whole heart, isn't that the day that we find Him? Well, you know what? His word ain't changed, and it's the same today. When somebody will seek Him with their whole heart. I remember Uncle Paul, Kurt's dad. It's no lie. He loved visitors. He loved people visiting and stuff like that. He'd be at the back door and say, well, come again. But his eye would be single on the altar. He'd be watching the altar. Because when somebody went to the altar, he said, excuse me, I need to go. Because he believed that he got to be there praying with people and stuff like that. And I go like this. I mean, I think he had a good single eye. And if you find somebody with a single eye, you need to hold on to them.
Well, see, even as we go on down into these next few verses, we need to start recognizing the ministry that God has you in and function in that ministry to the fullest extent of whatever God allows you to function in it. You know, you know, not all of us have exactly the same gifts and the same calling in that sense, but we're all part of the body of Christ, and we're not anyone, no one is greater or more than somebody else. And, you know, I had a brother tell me one time, and this brother was kind of off, you know, I hate to say that, but he was. And I felt that when I talked to him. But he said to me, he says, well, you know, he says, trying to build himself up, he was telling me, he says, well, I had some of the biggie prophets prophesy over me. And I'm standing there, you know, and like tell him what his ministry was. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, but there's no biggie prophet.
That's right.
What's a biggie prophet? I mean, the only biggie prophet, if there is anyone at all, is Jesus.
He's
the
like
only
a
biggie prophet. You know, and I'm thinking, well, it was, you know, like, well, bless God, I, you know. And I know it's hard to do sometimes. It's like Preston Eby. You know, Preston Eby is a tremendous teacher, wonderful teacher. But you know what? Preston Eby don't need to be set on no pedestal. Mm-hmm. He's just a brother that God uses.
Yes.
He's a part of the body of Christ. He's no more important than Clyde or than Mike or than anybody else. You know, you fitting into the place where God has you, you know. And you know, so many times, you know, and that's what happens to a lot of those guys when they're in the ministry. And I'm not saying him, mm-hmm. but I'm seeing a lot of those guys that are in the ministry, they get puffed up because people are constantly telling them how great they are. Well, you know what? There's only one great, and that's
right.
Jesus Christ. There's only one true prophet, that's Jesus Christ. And the spirit of prophecy in you is the spirit mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ
that's
coming
right.
out.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of any of the gifts of the spirit mm-hmm. or any of the functions that God has you do. You know, I can tell you the poems that God has given me over the years. I don't want somebody to come and say, well, Oscar writes great poetry. No, God inspired them poems. I give him the credit. I'd never written no poetry before. I prayed one day after reading a poem that just ministered to me so tremendously. I prayed and I said, God, I just wish I could write something like that. I'm still trying. I ain't never got to. that poem I read, I'm telling you what, I have never read a better poem than that from anybody. And that was that Windows of Gold. Because, man, it just told you a whole thing. And it basically was telling you, function in God where he's got you. Your
right.
windows of gold are right where you are. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because I love what she said at the end. She said, your search for God will begin and end when you search for him and you find him within.
Yes,
and
amen.
What else can you say about it? I mean, it don't get no better than that. You know what I mean? And I mean, you know, but even, you know, even with her, I mean, she was a humble lady. I mean,
yes.
she had to be for God to give her the stuff that he gave her, you know. But
I was trying to find the one that Charles read one time and so moved, he memorized. He quoted it here in Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it was. I've got to look up her poems
yeah.
because it's so touched to him. And God so spoke to him.
Yeah.
That he said, I speak this to myself, and then he quoted it here one time. He asked, could he share it, and he quoted it here in Sunday school.
Well, I was telling him that about Maxine, the time when we were going to have the praise dancers come in. You know, Maxine had arranged for Black Church to bring in
mm-hmm.
praise dancers,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she was trying to bridge gaps in churches and stuff, and then she was a tremendous sister. I mean, I loved her. She was just a tremendous sister. But anyway, when she came up to me after a service, and I don't even know if I was even an elder at that point. I might have been, might not have been. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, Brother Oscar, has God ever given you a poem about dancing? And I'm thinking, no. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he hasn't. You know, I'm thinking, no. You know. And she says, well, she says, just pray about it. And she says, I'd like for you to share a poem when they come, you know, so one of your poems or something. I said, okay. I no sooner had walked out of church that night and got on the front porch and started giving me a poem on praising him in the dance, you know. And you know, I mean, you just never know what God's going to do and how he's going to do it.
Did you do it?
Yeah. And well, I can tell you the poem, it was... It was praise him in the dance, and it says David danced with all of his might. The response of the people was that of delight. They watched him spin, they watched him twirl, they watched him glide in a pause, in a swirl. A smile on his face as the glory shone through. The ark was coming home, for what else could he do? As the love of God now bubbled inside, without regard of those around or even his pride, he danced and he danced and he danced some more, until the ark was in its tent and David was sure that the presence of the Lord was now there to remain. So he went to his house, where it soon became plain. His wife met him with sarcasm in her voice. A look, wife met him with a look on her face and sarcasm in her voice about what a disgrace. And it goes on, and I can't remember the last part of it, but it goes on and says, and basically, and if she'd only known, it doesn't matter how we praise him or how we pray. The only thing that matters is the love in our heart, and if we're willing that love to impart. Mm-hmm. But that's basically, and I messed up the last bit.
But I bet they really
loved, you know. Yeah, oh my God, they loved it. I mean, they were cheering and carrying on in the church that night, and this one of this black sister, she came up to me, and she says, Brother Oscar, she says, have you ever, copyrighted your poems? And I said, no, I said, because I feel like God's given them freely, and I just freely give them, and somebody else uses them, that's fine. And she says, she got all over me. She says, you need to copyright them poems. She says, because somebody's liable to take one of them and make a song or something out of that and make money and not use it for the kingdom of God. She says, you need to copyright them poems. I saw her about 2 or 3 years later for some reason. They came back, you know, and first thing she did, she walked in the door, she walked up to me and said, you copyright them poems yet? I said, no, I haven't. You know, but I really didn't feel like I was supposed to do that, or I would have done it. But
you know, the
neat thing is that God knows what he's doing, you know, and each ministry that everybody has, you have a special niche that nobody else can fill, you know. And
one of your poems, well, of course, I use it a lot,
yeah.
but where do you worry, where do you threat, when all you seem to do is get upset. Well, anyway, I've used that, and I used it one time knowing that a Holy Ghost was just going to break out, and it was in a graduation ceremony. And the girl sitting up, laying up there, was this lady's daughter, who had been in the church years ago and had walked away. And after I was done, I quoted that. I walked over and I said, here, the Lord told me to give this to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was like giving her, whether you want to say money or gold or whatever. She broke down like you wouldn't believe. She said, this is mine. And she began to embrace it. And I think that's why the Lord has led you to do what you do and to use you. First of all, because you're obedient. But second of all, because he and he alone is worth.
That's right. He's the only one.
I mean, that lady wanted to do something. I go, oh, no. I said, this whole thing is for you. And it's about you. It's about building you up, lifting you up, and encouraging you. Now, after she took that, I don't know what happened, but I agree with you a lot about that. You know, as a prophet, we give the word.
Mm-hmm.
And after we give it, that's our requirement. Be obedient.
Yeah, right.
Not necessarily memorize it or go make sure it comes to the pass.
Right.
Like, my goodness, get your hands off of it.
Yeah.
But let me say, because that's what if you don't mind me reading it, that's what the sixth verse says.
Mm-hmm.
Having then gifts, offering according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesize according to the portion of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say something about prophecy to you. If the Lord's called you to prophecy and you ain't never done it, let me encourage you. It gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
Be obedient. It gets a lot easier.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding you. I see things happen in children. I look at the children and go like, yeah, God could use that child.
Oh, sure.
Get up, Don't you know the Holy Ghost come upon it? And who would say this or act like this? Oh, it's just a kid. I want to tell you something. He's a child of the King.
That's right.
Is he breathing? God give him breath. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But I encourage you, if you've never done it and you felt led to do it, start doing it. And I want to tell you something. Here's how it goes. If the Lord gives you prophecy, first of all, I'll tell you, it's supposed to be judged by other people.
Right.
So don't be afraid that other people are going to judge it. That's what's supposed to happen.
Right.
One time a speaker was at camp, and the Lord told me to go give this guy a word. Well, I looked at Brother Jay. I knew Brother Jay was fine knowing this. I said, I need you to go up and judge me, judge what I'm going to say. Right. So I go up and tell the guy, I said, the Lord told me to tell you to put your guitar down and get into the Word. I'm not kidding you. I was 20-some years old, like I was a little pup. So I went and sat down. He began to pick his guitar, started playing, and all the strings broke.
Oh, my gosh.
Brother Jay's looking at me and goes like this. I don't think he believed you. Well, anyway, it's not believing me. It's believing what the Lord said to him. Well, anyway, he got up the next morning. This is how you mess with God. He got up the next morning and said, well, that must have been a fluke last night because I put 5 new strings on it. I said, really? I said, okay. So he got up and started playing again, and all 5 new ones broke. And he goes, he put that down, didn't pick it up the whole week, and got into the Word.
Yeah.
Had a tremendous time in the Word. But you know what? The Lord even deals with attitudes. I know he dealt with mine saying, don't think you're something just because I used you to say that to him. But the fact is, I did it in the right order. I took somebody to judge it. Somebody to judge it is not only to judge what's said, but to judge what happens.
Well, the thing about it is, too, is that when you share a prophetic word, you know, I never get people off to their on
right.
One-on-one. I never do that. Even if I know the Lord's giving me a word for them, I don't do that. I'll grab somebody and take them with me always. And, you know, but the thing about it is that sometimes whatever God gives you, he will give it to someone else too and enhance it and build on it
right.
and whatever. And, you know, I mean, we've been a few times ago when it's been, you know, years ago now, but it seems like yesterday, you know how it is when you get older. Roy Ralph was here, and the Lord had me call him and Nancy up and give them a prophecy, and I did it up on the platform where all the, you know, all the brothers were around. That's the way I like to do that. I don't like to do it, you know. I mean, if I just would not give you a prophetic word without there being somebody there to hear it. But anyway, I gave him the word. And, you know, and I guess it was probably maybe a week or so later after he was gone, he contacted Jim and he says, did you guys record that prophecy? And Jim called me and asked me, and I said, no, I said, we don't usually do that. But we did start recording prophecies after that. Right after that,
yep.
Because of that. And he says, he told, and Jim didn't have him call me. Jim put himself as the go-between, which, you know, he should have had him just call me and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Jim called me and says, he wants to know if there's any way you can remember that prophecy. And I said, well, what I do when God gives me a prophetic word is I put it right out of my mind after that, because I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to tell somebody what they should and shouldn't do. And if I ever give any of you all a prophetic word, if it doesn't witness to you, you just let it go. I'll tell you that right off hand. I don't care what it is. You just let it go. Because if it's from the Lord, he will bring it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, mm-hmm. every word will be established. And usually a prophetic word is a word that you've already received from the Lord, or you already know in your heart you're supposed to do whatever it's telling you. But anyway, so I told Jim, I said, well, I'll pray about it, and I'll see if God will bring it back to me. And I prayed about it, and then I wrote it out, and we sent it to him. And I guess, I don't know if Jim read it to him or what on the phone or however, but Anyway, he said he had gotten that same prophecy in two or three other places, you know. And part of the prophecy was that he was to put his sandals on because God was going to send him out, you know. And it wasn't long after that he started going to Europe and going to places that I don't know if he was going before. But, you know, and I honestly felt like God was going to start doing miraculous things in his ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't remember if I told him that or not, but, you know, I felt that way. So, but, you know, and that school out there is gone now, you know. So a lot of times what God will do, if he's wanting to get you out, he'll close down whatever you're doing. He was the principal of the school, you know. And he's been, and Roy's had a lot of real bad health problems, you know, he really has. But I don't know, I can't speak to any of that, what's going on there or whatever. But I know the word that God gave me for him was a very strong word, and for his wife too. But she's tended to be a little bit on the judgmental side, you know, of things when she would speak sometimes, and you'd think. But it was that old religious thing, you know, because they'd come up through Pentecostal realms for a long time, you know, and God took them into the kingdom message and all that. But I tell you what, just do what God tells you to do. It's like if you're standing out there, and you feel like the Lord just wants you to just go over and say, the Lord just told me to come over and say, God bless you, brother. Mm-hmm. That's a beginning, you know. I'd been given prophetic words. I'd been called to be a prophet unto the nations and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I didn't let any of that go to my head or anything, you know. And you know, I can remember I'd be standing out there and I'd feel like the Lord would start running some words through my head. And sometimes a prophetic word will start with one word or two words. And what God's doing is he's saying, now you be obedient and I'll give you the rest of it. And that's hard, you know, if God's just, you know, drawing you to somebody, he's only giving you one or two words. But you have to also not add any words in there.
Right, that's right.
Because you can really send somebody down the wrong path. You know what I mean? Because if they're looking at you and not looking to the Lord. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. Concerning, because I know Clyde moves prophetically, and some of you guys have all moved prophetically. But if God gives you something for somebody, don't hold back. I've heard people say, well, I didn't feel like it was the right time to give it to them.
So that's your call.
Don't do that.
If God gives the spirit
you a
when you
word
do that.
For them, you go give them that word. They need that word. And I'm not going to tell God when the word should go forth and when it shouldn't. You know what I mean? If he's giving me a word for you, I'm going to give it to you.
And then it's up to him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the year I got saved at camp, we came back to church. We being the camp. We came back to church. And the Lord gave me a word for this guy. And this guy was actually the leader of the youth. He had a lot of influence on old Clyde. I'm saying that because I'm telling you he didn't have any on new Clyde. And the Lord said, tell him what I told you. And I got up to tell him. And have you ever had, nobody's ever had this. You sure that's you, Lord? Anyway, have you ever had, he said, tell him. I said, the Lord wants me to tell you you're full of dirt.
Oh,
that's all I said. He ran to the altar, started repenting. Dirt. Now, I'm pretty sure none of you would like God to use me to tell you you're full of dirt. But you know what? I didn't question what dirt was. I didn't have to. Because dirt was enough for him to go to the altar.
Well, the Lord gave me a prophetic word one time from the pulpit up there. Didn't know, not to any particular person. I didn't give it to him. I knew it was for, but I didn't feel like I was supposed to pull this person out and give it to him. And I just gave the prophetic word. And I hadn't got out the church door till his wife was running up to me. You know, she knew who it was. And basically the thing was, and this was probably the same person that God gave me that word for, I'm pretty sure it was. And, you know, basically told me, you know, what it was is God was basically saying that if they would repent, he would restore them, mm-hmm. you know. And this brother was way out there. I mean, yeah. he was pretty far out there. And I was thinking, I just shared the word. I mean, I didn't even have to tell, go up and say, thus saith the Lord to you. He knew exactly who the Lord was talking to.
You know, in case you've ever wondered why people have left the church, a lot of times it's pride. They want to leave the church because they don't want to be held answerable to anything they say to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And they don't want you to sit in judgment of them. Well, the word declares we're supposed to.
Right.
So they were actually being disobedient to the word. But why didn't they come back? Because they kept feeling like that. You know?
Well, that same person I'm talking about used to write me letters and send me letters. Down in people at this church and down in things the way this church was run years ago and stuff. And I so wanted to respond to them, I couldn't hardly stand it. And every time I would pray about it, I'd feel like the Lord would say, leave my life.
Lord, I just want to let this brother have it, you know.
I mean, because they would just aggravate the crap out of me. I'll be honest with you.
Leaving them alone was heaping coals on their head.
Yeah.
Now we all know.
the poem, Why Do You Struggle,
uh-huh.
Charles had a copy of that,
yeah.
and he had it up on his wall,
yeah.
and he loved it. He said, every going through things, and he said he would read it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's
really
time we need to call an end to
yeah.
this
really
fun day.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to do 6, 7, and 8.
All right.
We cannot go back.
Okay.
Just,
you took us back.
I know.
There this
it's
morning.
Because we'll just, you
well,
know, there's so much.
We weren't
so
really
much.
Done with that.
No,
yeah.
it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I tell you, it doesn't take me
yeah.
long just to come in here and get caught up.
Like what Clyde said, we need to not put no time frame on
that's
things.
Right.
Just let it go as God takes us
that's
in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
sometime. You might find yourself on one or two verses for
mm-hmm.
a couple of weeks. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just sometimes you just can't move on.
We could go back to 8:1 and start over. As far as I'm concerned,
oh, yeah.
well, you know, it translates.
Well, you can preach on the 8th chapter of Romans.
Mm-hmm. Your life.
From now on, if you wanted
yeah.
to do it,
yeah.
because
it
covers so many things.
Yeah. There is now no condemnation.
Oh.
You know, just. How can it get any better than that?
And even the end of it, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor
yeah.
angels nor principalities nor things present
yes.
nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I mean, that's about as powerful a scripture as you could possibly ever read.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we probably should close, I guess.
Let's see. Somebody who feels it, do it.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're ever with us.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. We thank you.
We have no worry or no concern
right.
about the day we'll see
Amen.
Because we don't believe in that day.
Praise God.
We believe in you.
Yes.
What your word says is what you do.
Amen.
You don't do anything less. But Father, we just ask that you pile on the word among us
yes.
and among the people in the congregation. Father, I pray for hunger. I pray that, Father, the name of Jesus be lifted today higher than it's ever been lifted in this congregation. Have your way. Bless the musicians. And we'll continue to give you the praise, the honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.